In Psalm chapter 1, God gives us a little formula for prosperity. And if anybody should know how we could prosper, it certainly ought to be God. He not only made us, He made the world that He put us in. And so if anybody knows how it all works together, it certainly is God. But it's a 5-point plan for prosperity. And I just want to warn you, I have like a 12-point message this morning. Okay? I mean, that. I'm going to give you the 5-point plan for prosperity. I'm going to give you the 4-point the results that come out of that plan. And then I'm going to get to my message and have 3 points there. We won't be any longer than we normally are, I promise you that. But this psalm is a psalm that's often read, often quoted. Many people have it memorized. And sometimes the most familiar parts of Scripture are the most ignored. Sometimes we get so familiar with the passages of Scripture that we miss the truth. But here in these first couple verses, God gives us His formula or His plan for prosperity. And it's not only a plan for prosperity, it's a plan for happiness, because in that first verse, He uses the word blessed, and that word blessed means happy. So it's a plan that you can be happy and be blessed and have prosperity all at the same time. Again, 5 simple points. He says, first of all, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What God is saying there is, don't take your advice, don't take your counsel from ungodly people. Don't take your advice, don't take your counsel from people that don't know God, that don't stay in, that don't live by His book, that don't try to please Him. And I want you to notice that the Bible doesn't qualify the subject in which you're taking counsel about. I mean, many people would say, well, I understand, preacher, that I ought not to take counsel about my marriage from an ungodly counselor. I ought to go to somebody that's godly, because God's the one that gave us marriage and knows how to make it work. I understand, preacher, that I ought not to take counsel about how to rear my kids, because God can tell me, and a godly person who stays in the book, who tries to please God, can tell me how to ought to raise my kids. But I'll just go a step further and tell you, I think you ought to take all of your counsel from godly people. I think you ought to find a godly mechanic to fix your car. I think you ought to find a godly accountant to do your taxes. I think in every area of life, if we want to be blessed, if we want to have the happiness that God can give us, then we ought to take our counsel from godly people. Then He says, don't stand in the way of sinners. What He's saying there is, don't hang around with sinners. Don't fellowship a lot with sinners. Pick your friends and the people that you're going to spend time with, the people that you're going to do things with. Pick people that will lead you and will influence you to do right. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And whoever you are hanging around with, whoever you are standing with, sooner or later are going to entice you. They'll entice you to do good, or they will entice you to do bad. And because many of us don't have the strength to resist every temptation that Satan throws in our path, how much better we'd be if we just avoid some of them. Just don't hang around people that are going to tempt you to do wrong. I had a preacher used to say, Brother Dick knew who I'm talking about. He always said this, you are right now or soon shall be exactly like the people you run with. You are right now or soon shall be exactly like the people that you run with. And so what I'm saying this morning, what God's saying this morning, pick some godly people, some people that are trying to live for God, and stand with them. Fellowship with them. Hang with them, however you want to say it, and let them influence you for good. Then He says, don't sit with the scornful. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't sit with those that complain. Don't sit with those that always tear other people down. Don't sit with those that always find the negative and never look for the positive. Look, every single one of us are sinners. Some saved and some not. But we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And you can find negatives and bad about every single person. But you know what? You can also find positives. You can also find good. And don't set with people that all they can see is the negative and the bad. Now, three don'ts in that first verse. Don't walk or don't take your counsel from the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Then he gives us two things to do in verse 2. He says, delight in the law of the Lord. Find your joy in the Bible. Find your enjoyment in the Word of God. Find what turns you on. Find what gets you going. Find what keeps you coming back over and over and over again in this book. Find your delight in the Word of God. I delight in banana pudding. Amen, Brother Leonard? I could eat banana pudding for one meal, not the whole meal, but you know, for dessert, one meal every single day. When I was a little kid, I used to delight in baseball. I could play baseball, I could listen to baseball games every single day. That's what that verse means. Find your delight. Find your delight in this book. Find the things that keep you coming back, the things that you love, the things that you find your joy in this book. And then number 5, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. If you want to be happy, if you want to be blessed, if you want to prosper, God says, hey, find your delight in the Word of God and meditate therein day or night. A cow has a number of stomachs. I've heard this illustration, used it before. Is it 7? 7 stomachs. And a cow picks up a little grass, chews it on a while, sends it down to stomach number 1. Then he brings it back up, chews on it, he or she, I guess. I guess it's a she, right? Cows are she's? Is that right? Bulls are he's. Okay. See what you learn when you come to church? So she brings it back up the second time and chews on it some more. Sends it back down to stomach number 2. She brings it back up a third time, chews on it some more. Sounds good, doesn't it? So sends it down to stomach number 3. I wish I could do that to my banana pudding. It tasted good the first time, is it? And the second time and the third time. But I've heard that illustration, used it before for what meditating is. Get a hold of a verse of Scripture and just chew on it day and night. Think about it. Pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to explain it to you. And meditate on the truth that's in the Word of God day and night. Now, here's the results in verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A tree planted by the river. A tree that gets all the water and gets all the nutrients and gets everything it needs to stay alive because it's planted there with its roots deep near the river. But not only a tree that can stay alive, but a tree that's productive, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. I mean, that bringeth forth the fruit season after season, year after year. When the season comes, when the time comes, the apples come on the tree. The peaches come on the tree. The pears come on the tree. A tree that is fulfilling its purpose. A tree that's bearing fruit, the reason that God made it to bear fruit. And a tree that's there with its roots near the river, that's getting what it needs from that river to do what God made it to do. A tree that's beautiful, whose leaf, his leaf also shall not wither. Coming to the time of year that I enjoy the most, the fall when the leaves change color and God paints the landscape with all the colors in the leaves. But a leaf that withers in summer, a leaf that withers before it's supposed to, is an ugly sight. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, God hath made everything beautiful in his time. And if we follow this formula, The 5 points that are mentioned there in verses 1 and 2, we can have these results. We can be like that tree planted by the river that brings forth fruit, accomplishes the things that God made us to be, and we can have a beautiful life. You say, does that mean everything's going to go good? That means I'm not going to have any problems? No. But you can have a life the way that God wants you to have the life. I mean, in that book, in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, in the, where that scripture is, down in verse 12, it says, there's a time to be born and a time to die. A time for joy and a time of weeping. But the Bible says that God has made all of those times beautiful in our life. And then, here's the big promise, the last phrase of verse 3, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a pretty big promise. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But it's a promise made by a pretty big God. It's like getting a blank check. No, it's better than getting a blank check from a signed blank check from Bill Gates. It's better than that. Because my God owned the cows on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He's richer than Bill Gates is this morning. He's the one that put the sun, moon, and the stars in the air. And he's a God that can do anything he wants. And he says, I will make you prosper in whatsoever you do. All right. This morning, I want to put the formula and the results together. And I want to preach on the subject, blessed are the planted. Blessed are the planted. And I want to point out, I only have, even though I have 12 different things that I'm trying to say this morning, I only have one point. I only have one thing that I want you to think about when you leave here this morning. Be careful where you plant yourself. Be careful where you plant yourself. You know, those of you that have gardens, those of you that have farmed for a living, you know that the type of soil that you have is important. How much water it gets, how much sunlight it gets is important. And you choose what you plant based on the soil and the water and the sunshine. Same thing is true of us. If we plant our things, or if we plant ourselves in the things of the world, we will not live, grow, and prosper. Because the world only offers up empty promises. The world only offers up promises that will not be kept. The world only offers up promises that are not true. But the promises of God are true. The promises of God that are promises that you can stand on. And this morning, based on those promises, I want to give you three suggestions about where you ought to plant yourself. Number one, you ought to plant yourself in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Plant yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. In our Sunday school lesson this morning from John chapter 14, Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And like Paul said, and I say like he did, don't be bewitched. Don't be blown about by every wind of doctrine. You plant yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't be caught up in the lies of the devil. Don't be caught up in the lies of the world. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, there's only one gospel, and that's the gospel that's preached in this book. We're all sinners. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid the price for that penalty when he went to Calvary's cross. And whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I like what the Sunday school lesson said this morning. Christianity is the only way to God that says, done. Didn't quite say it in those words, but that's one of the points I got out of it. Christianity is the only way to God that says, done. There's a lot of people that say there are a lot of other ways, but all those other ways say, do. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to be baptized. You got to join the church. You got to tithe. You got to take communion. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. When Jesus hung on the cross, he says, "It is finished. Nothing else has to be done. The price has been paid. All that's left to us is to receive it, is to take it." If you haven't received it, if you're here this morning and you have not received the gift of salvation that God offers to every single person, it's not someday you'll be condemned. It's not someday you'll be lost. It's not someday you'll suffer in hell. You're there already. In John chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, "He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And I know hell is going to be a place of fire. And I know it's going to be the bottomless pit where the worm dieth not. But I'll tell you what, dear friend, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you are suffering the worst part of hell right now. You are separated by your sin from your Creator God. And that's going to be the worst part of hell. It won't be the fire. It won't be the bottomless pit. It won't be the worm that dieth not. It'll be the fact that you are separated from your God. And you're suffering that right now. Plant yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. Send your roots deep down in Him. There's no other way to get to heaven. There's no other way to get right with God. There's no other way to get your sins forgiven. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," He said. And that's the truth. Plant yourself in Him. Number two, plant yourself in His Word. Plant yourself in the Bible. I'll use that verse from Psalm, verse 1, verse 2. "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night." In the book of Exodus, the Bible says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And don't you think if God expects us to live by His very words, He will give us His very words? I do. I think that's what I hold in my hand. I think that's what I have in this book. I think I have not only the inspired, but the preserved Word of God in the King James Bible that I have. I'm going to plant myself in this book. I don't need to be transplanted to another version. I'm going to send my roots deep down in this one. I'm going to believe this one. I'm going to believe this one when it says Mary was a virgin, a woman that knew not man, and not a young maiden, as some other versions say. I'm going to believe this one when it says that homosexuality is an abomination and not a lifestyle. I'm going to believe this one when it says abortion is a murder and not a choice. I'm going to believe this one when it says hell is real and not an allegory. I'm going to believe this one that God's judgment is just and will be meted out, and that we won't get to the end of time and God will say, "Well, I love you all. You can all come to heaven." That's a lie, straight out of hell. It's not going to happen. And if you stand before God on that final day without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. You plant yourself deep in this book, in this word. And then, number three, you plant yourself in His church. In Psalm 92, verse 13, the Bible says, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." Let me be real frank with you. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but I believe this is the truth with all my heart. If God doesn't want you here, I don't either. If God hasn't led you here, you need to find out where He wants you. It'll be better for you. It'll be better for us. But if God has led you here, then you put your roots deep in this place. You plant yourself. Because I tell you what, if God wants you here, then Satan does not. And if God wants you here, and He's led you here, He wants you to put your roots deep so that you can stand against the things that Satan will throw up in your face to try to get you to leave. You see what Satan will do? He'll try to get somebody to hurt you. He'll try to get somebody to offend you. I mean, he'll try to get you to, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm a sinner just like you. I'll say something that may be wrong. I'll do something that may not be exactly right. I will disappoint you at times. But if your roots are planted, because this is where God wants you, you'll be able to withstand all the fiery darts of Satan. I was in Texas on Thursday night and went out after dinner and walked in a field. Saw an old I think it was an oak tree. I'm not exactly sure what kind of trees are trees, but I think it was an oak tree. There was a big split in the side where it looked like it had been struck by lightning. There were some branches laying on the ground around it that had been knocked off by the wind. But that old oak tree had its roots deep. Leaves were still green, still flourishing. Plant yourself deep. Plant yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. Plant yourself in this book. Plant yourself in the church where God wants you. And if this is this one, amen, amen. I believe God's led a lot of people here that are still sitting on the fence. You just need to go ahead and put your roots down. You just need to go ahead and join up. You need to go ahead and get committed. You need to put your roots down. And this morning, again, 12 different things, but one point. Be careful where you're planting yourself. Be careful where you're planting yourself. You can plant yourself in every other plan on how to get right with God, and it won't work. The only plan that will work to get you right with God is God's plan, Jesus. You can plant yourself in a lot of other books, a lot of other versions of the Bible, and there's some good things about all of them. But everything about this one is good. And then plant yourself in a church. Put your roots down. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Simple truth that's in this book. And I pray, Father, I haven't offended anybody today. I know sometimes when we preach hard about hell, some people get mad. Oh, but Father, I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, the Holy Spirit would help them understand that hell is real. And the reason that we preach like this is because we care about them. The reason we have church is because this church cares about them and doesn't want them to go to hell. And I pray this morning, if there's just one here that's never asked Christ to be their Savior, that right now they would put aside everything else they're depending on, every work that they can do, whatever they think they are that makes them right with you, and they can understand that it's only Jesus. It's just Him, nothing else. And right now they would decide to receive the most precious gift that you gave us, the gift of salvation. Help them to pray that prayer you taught the sinner to pray. Oh, dear God, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me and save me. And I pray, Father, that who's ever here that doesn't know Christ would do that. I pray for the Christians that are here. I pray for those that, Father, that you've led to this church and they're faithful. I pray you'd help them take the next step to go ahead and put their roots down and join us. If there's somebody here that's been saved but not baptized, I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd speak to them this morning. I just pray that as you speak, we would listen and we would do those things that you instruct us to do. I mean, you made us. You made us for a purpose. Father, help us to be like that tree that's planted by the river, that bringeth forth his fruit in a season, whose leaf doesn't wither, and who's prosperous in everything they do. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.